Hello, folks. This is Tom from Maui Research, also known as Tom from Brooklyn, also known as that. Who's that crazy guy you're talking to, Melanie?
Well, we've had you on the program before, and we just thought we would visit with you again here. So I'm glad to have you back, Tom. And
well, it's lovely to be back, Mel. Could you possibly just kick your audio up a little bit more? I can barely hear you.
Okay, now let's see. What, you know, that's interesting how, let's see if this, how's that? Does that help any?
Not much, but, no. You know, we'll have
I'll just
do.
Talk closer into the microphone.
That would be wonderful.
Ah, okay.
Possibly, you know, possibly you should take that out of your back pocket, you know? But anyway, what would you like to discuss tonight? There's just so many things going on in America and in Europe and in,
right.
And all over the world. It's
well, let me go. Before we go any further, let me say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida. And my guest, again, like I said, is Tom Molly. And now, yes, there's a whole lot going on out there, and you certainly love to keep up, keep a tab on a lot of it. And I had mentioned earlier tonight, one of them I'd like to kind of talk about is what's going on at the border. But I'm going to let you also pick some topics you have an interest in as well.
Well, there's a lot of confusion on the border and a lot of violence on the border. And I know people that are actually actively engaged on the surveillance of the border and the maintenance of the border as civilians. And the militias of Arizona, California, and Nevada are actively engaged in, well, I don't even call this a border crossing issue. I call this an insurrection, Mel. You know, I look at it as an insurrection.
An insurrection meaning?
These are foreign Marxist guerrillas that are coming across the border, creating havoc on our side of the border, and are running for the protection for illegal narcotics and human trafficking. This is not in any way or shape an aspersion on those individuals that actually came to our country to work or to gather. These are not lettuce pickers that we're talking about, Mel. Now, these are Marxist guerrillas that are actively involved in drug trafficking, and they are exploiting at the highest levels people in American government because they're getting a cut. That's the only way that this can continue.
Well, are they also not utilizing some of these people or I don't want to say force, but possibly creating a situation where people that are trying to come over to work having to carry over some of the drugs and things that are crossing the border?
Now, I can barely hear you.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well,
that's a little better.
Okay.
folks, we seem to be having a little bit of audio problems with our live broadcast. But, like I said, do not identify these people as the same people or that this is a racial issue or anything. You know, that you're against Hispanics because you're not supporting the drug dealers. I mean, you know, don't allow yourself to be labeled into a category of not being able to find your rear end with both hands because they've got a pre-programmed label and mantra to go directly with you.
So what is the information that you're hearing about those that are working along the border? What would they suggest to tell the public out there to be looking for and aware of?
Well, basically, anybody that's in a border town, what we have noticed has happened is they take over a ranch or a farm that's a little bit off the beaten path, and they land drugs in there. I mean, not all of this stuff is being ferried by backpack. a lot of stuff is coming in and just being dropped. And then they go in and they take over the person's farm or whatever. And, you know, they operate from their farm until they're used up and they go. We've had, you gotta understand something. You lost 58,000 people in the Vietnam War. You have more than 26,000 deaths on this border war so far. Why isn't this the main issue? This is not in a far place like Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq. This is on our own soil. As we are allocating so much money and resources to other parts of the world, we are being taken over.
So, and this is not unlikely, I mean, this is not unlike what has taken place in other countries and how it begins, and they get the people in here that start taking it down from the inside, correct?
I didn't hear the last part.
Where they're taking it down from the inside.
Well, basically the attack is on the infrastructure and on the freedom and wealth and resources and individuality of the American people. The object of all of the legislature from the legislation that comes from these treasonous legislators is basically to bring us down to the level of third world countries. And they're achieving that. People that have land are not going to be able to maintain and keep the land because they'll raise the tax to the point where they can't keep it. And, it's... In the old days, you had to own land in America to vote. But now, it's not that way. I mean, all people were able to vote. Now, even when you go to say Arizona or Texas, if these people get a driver's license in Arizona and Texas, even an illegal, say, would you like to vote? And you check yes. Guess what? You've got an undocumented Democrat. You know. You know, you've got a fence jumper that is able to affect, voting rights for people that are actually paying taxes. That's not fair. I mean,
yeah, but we also have to realize that, you know, we've also got a fairly broken voting system taking place here, too. I mean, if we want to get into that particular issue and...
Well, there's a book called Vote Scam written by the Collier brothers. And both of them were assassinated because of the content of the book. And as a matter of fact, Mel, have you heard from the child, the young lady that was promoting it, the daughter of one of the brothers? And I have not seen hide nor hair of her for 4 years yet.
And what is the story behind that while you're at it?
Well, it's Vote Scam. The name of the book is Vote Scam. And basically, it has to do with how the voting system works in America and how they can set up or rig an election. And I guess they didn't like anybody pulling back the curtain on the Oz machine. And these people, these two gentlemen, they great patriots, by the way. Ultimately, your patriotism is rewarded with your early demise. And the real heroes in America stand in the background like clowns crying in the dark. I mean, because they bleed for humanity. Meanwhile, they're putting themselves through the buzzsaw, you know, sacrificing their privileges, their home life, their personal resources, even compromising their own religions by doing the things that they need to do. There is no honesty in America, not in politics. Anybody that believes that you can put politics and honesty in the same sentence is delusional.
So when you're talking about what's going on with the border, you're talking about volunteers and people stepping up to protect the border because they're not really getting a lot of help from our organized. Or are
well,
they?
Well, let me explain something to you. The people who are getting paid to guard the border, some are good, some are bad, but the people who are getting paid, to them it's a job. The brave people of the United States militia or the state militia or the unorganized militia. Well, I've got dear friends of mine who are actually working as medics and doing humanitarian things in there, besides just shooting at these people and you know, they're taking care of the casualties. The people that are guarding the border right now, other than the Border Patrol and the BATF, you've seen their antics. I mean, that's all political. These individuals that put their life on the line and go out onto that border are true of heart. They are true Americans. They're doing the right thing. Whenever you have an armed insurrection on America, it is not a police issue anymore. It is a national security issue. Now, in absence people stepping up to their real responsibilities, which is the safety, health and safety of the people of the United States, okay, our military is shipped far away from the real problem so that these, I guess you call them, I wouldn't know, these foreign groups are able to attack the infrastructure of our country while our fighting people are somewhere else busy. Back to the other, the situation with the guys on the border. These, for all intents and purposes, are guys that are not only not getting the support of the public, but these fellows, these brave Americans that actually believe in this country, are talked about like subhumans. They're attacked by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're attacked by the ADL. They're attacked by anti-gun groups. They do everything. They do everything but tell them that they need to be medicated, and they even tell them that.
So, I mean, the problem is, what I'm understanding is, by not protecting the border at this point, this has come a long ways inland. I mean, they're coming into some of the major cities in the southern part.
Oh, Mexicans in Chicago? Are you talking about something like that? Well, you see, the funny part about it is the paths that are most traveled offer the least resistance. They have the equivalent of the Underground Railroad now that the slaves used to have. Now, without one other thing, there's nobody searching for these people. You could find them on every corner in America looking for work. The legitimate ones. And the other ones you can find near the closest school selling drugs to your children. Let me tell you something. We have enough laws in this country to deal with these people. Okay? Now, a guy coming across the border that our guys, that the militia guys catch, right? He's coming across the border with a rifle and a backpack full of dope. He's not coming here to pick lettuce. He's not coming here as a seasonal worker. He's not coming here to invest in do anything in this country. He's there as a Marxist, insurrectionist who is actually here to destroy the infrastructure of our country. And he deserves death sentence right there on the spot. No court, no nothing. Take him out.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you to just back off of the mic. You don't need to talk into it as loud as I need to.
Well, so. the volume goes up when the temper goes up.
Right.
Look at the violence, Mel. I mean, really, look at the violence. And I'm not saying meet violence with violence. These people are paying off our public officials so that they can continue with this nonsense. You know? And look at the whole way the whole thing is rigged. They bring the dope up, they get through the border, okay? They sell the dope to somebody that's dumb enough to use it, all right? And then what do? They trade. They say who they gave it to, so they can bust the guy, grab his property, and then the dope goes to the property clerk's office. Then it goes back out again. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. I mean. The system is just there to generate activity of the negative source, and the only way that I can see to handle it is to, believe it or not, you want to stop it all? Very simple. Make it all legal. Take all the profit out of it. Nobody's going to want to walk from here to there for no reason at all. And folks, remember something. The only thing that the American government is contractually bound to do is protect the borders and the coastals. And they're not doing a very good job of it. They've gotten into every other aspect of life except the job what they're supposed to do.
Well, now, I have heard some other sides to that issue, too, where some of the, I mean, there may be, I mean, there's got to be some people on the other side of the border that see what's going on and realize what that is doing to their country, too. I mean, it's got to be, I mean, from...
Well, 26,000 people, I mean, 26,000 people, they should be getting a message, you know, and the bottom line here is there's a reason why they hate us. And the reason why they hate us is because we forced our way of life on a wonderful people. I spent many, many years in Mexico and, you know, enjoyed their culture, their cuisine. But the Mexican people belong in Mexico and the American people belong in America. And I don't think that, when you send Wendy's and McDonald's and send all that consumer stuff down there, they get into the same material box that the American people are keeping up with the Joneses. And of course, they can't have all the toys on what they live. But they were living quite well before the Americans got involved there. I mean, when you go down to Mexico 25 years ago, I mean, when was the first McDonald's put in down there? You know, now you can't tell the difference. If you look, say from Brownsville, Texas into Mexico, you don't see any difference from one side of the border to the other, except there's maybe not as much paving on the other side. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Every country that America gets involved with, they call it bringing in democracy. Basically, the people of America have very, very little to say in these type of moves. They're done by multinational corporations. And basically, the bringing of democracy is creating a new consumer base for the elite to sell things to. And then you start having health problems, and you start having sanitation problems. And where did the new insurgence of bed bugs come from this country? You know, hello? I mean, maybe they fell off the guy that you're paying $2 a day for, or $50 a day for, to do the laundry. I mean, you have a cause and effect situation here that is unbelievable. I mean, we're spending trillions of dollars, trillions, not millions anymore, folks, trillions of dollars fighting Israel's wars, and our borders are wide open. Let me tell you something. I think that the Arabic people and those supposed enemies of the United States have been very, very, very patient with the government of the United States and has not taken it out on the people. You want to know why? They're better educated than most of our Americans because they're not listening to the mainstream media. All right? They're using their brains and not getting, from the wire service the same bit of sanitized, mechanized, and reassembled data and information. You know, they actually believe what they see with their own eyes.
So, I mean, ultimately what you see taking place when other countries go through this sort of thing is that, they send in these operations from one country that's bordering the other, and then they start sending them in to break down the infrastructure from the inside. But often when you're also seeing these kind of disputes, you usually find corporations that are hugely involved after resources. Is that same thing happening in Mexico?
Well, I believe it. It's as plain as the nose on your face that they've Americanized Mexico, okay, without them bringing the salaries up in Mexico, creating a demand for things that they don't need. And they destroyed an entire culture in Mexico with their merchandising in garbage. You know, they've cheapened the American dream has in fact polluted a wonderful existence and subculture and culture in Mexico. I'm not saying that, you know, poverty is great, but the simplicity of life. No, I won't use Mexico. I'll use Venezuela. I was on a trip, and I was in Simon Bolivar National Park, which is in Venezuela, and I took a boat trip over onto an island, and there was a very remarkably beautiful woman there grilling fish, and her father was the fisherman. And I was with friends of mine who live in Venezuela half of the year. And my friend said to me, would you be interested in going out with that woman, possibly marrying her and taking her back to the United States? And I thought about it, and I looked at her, and I said, wow, she's really special. And I just turned around, and I said, after I deliberated for a couple of days, I said, Sergio, I don't think I want to do this. She says, why? He says, look at the simplicity of her life. You know, what's she going to become when she comes to America, when you bring her to America? Designer jeans, and then she's just going to be, you know, another person. Over here, she has a good family structure. She's grilling fish on the beach. I mean, yeah, it's poverty. Maybe it's abject poverty. But the bottom line here was the beauty of simplicity and the simple life, free from all the glitter and nonsense that goes on. And, you know, we all come into this world perfect, okay, for the most part. It's the pollution of the parents and the marketing people that destroy them and throw them off course. So this was as close to perfect as I had ever seen in my life, and I didn't want to destroy that.
Well, so I guess to bring it back to the original topic we were talking about on the border, I mean, this is really something that we really need to be paying quite a bit of attention to, but it isn't just the southern border, right?
No, we're not getting an invasion of Canadians. Actually, they're doing pretty well. NAFTA and GATT has done wonders for Canada, especially in the building materials. Building materials is up 60% in the last year alone because you know, lumber and stuff like that, with the trade with Canada under NAFTA and GATT, certain logging places can't be done in America before, so the price in the shipping has driven the prices up on all the building material. And on top of that, the Canadians, that's the easiest way. That's even easier to get into this country than coming through the border. But I think the Canadians got a pretty good handle on that. And believe me, the Canadian border, is better policed than the southern border.
Okay. I'm going to change direction a little bit, unless you have something that you really want to cover. I was wanting to get into a little bit of, I don't know whether you want to go there or not, but as into the space program and what's going on with our aspects of what's going on there. Are you aware of it much? And
no, not at all.
Okay, all right. Then no,
not my area of expertise. But if you want to give me a couple of minutes, I'll rant a little bit about, say, Ron Paul. Okay?
Okay, I'll go ahead and rant on Ron Paul then.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't walk on water, okay? He's a wonderful man. I've met him. I met his wife. Poker Face, the band, played all of his, a lot of his, meetings and meet-up groups and everything like that. And he's a wonderful, wonderful man, but he's got a chance, you know, and but don't expect dynamic changes when he comes into office unless he runs as an independent, because he is a career politician. Yes, he's a baby doctor. Yes, he's schooled in economics. He's the most qualified man to be the president of the United States that I can think of, you know, within reason. But don't expect big changes even if he was to get in. But the bottom line here is I got to ask all the people. I always make my best points by asking a question. If his own party doesn't want to support him and he can't get the press, why is he running as a Republican? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he could have already been the President of the United States on an independent ticket. The people know who he is right now. Do you know, believe it or not, I was talking to a rabbi not long ago. A rabbi. I'm just saying usually they'll vote Democrat or, you know, or whatever. And he goes, he said to me, so who are you going to vote? Who would you vote for? And I'd say Ron Paul. He says, interesting fellow. Why don't they let the man talk? Why don't they allow the man to talk? Why, you know, the people are actually so disenfranchised with the left and right paradigm, the right and the left, and the Republican and the Democrat, that maybe they might do something else for a change. Like Obama says, right? We need change. Why don't you draw a third party and vote for that guy that they don't allow to talk? Wouldn't that be great? Now, if he went as an independent, there would be an upside to this. If he won as an independent, now this would be great, because he wouldn't have to pay back the favors. And he could remember the people who ridiculed him. You could also remember the people that supported him. And, you know, as an independent, I love to see the man as an independent. And if you don't think an independent can win, ask Jesse Ventura, because in Minnesota, they got really fed up with the antics of the Republican and the Democrat Party, and they didn't even know who Jesse was, and they voted for him. They know who Ron Paul is now. The time is now. What the meetup groups and the Wall Street groups should be doing on their signs to send the message to Ron Paul is, please, run as an independent. And if he doesn't win as an independent, we need to have a revolution. Simple.
Okay. Now, did you have another subject you would like to go to, or is there more to this one?
Hold on now.
Okay.
I tried to up my headset. It doesn't go any further.
Okay.
All right. What was your question?
I said, okay, did you have more that you wanted to speak on that subject, or did you have another something else you wanted to speak about on this evening?
Well, you know, you have the Ron Paul issue. You have just there's so many. There's just so many issues. I mean, where do you start? Where do you finish? I mean, my critique or my view on things is purely just my view. I mean, I'm nobody special. I'm Tom from Brooklyn. You know, you could be spinning pizzas one day and then talking with the intellectuals the next day. I mean, it's all relative. It's a wonderful life. Get out. Use your own eyes. Formulate your own opinions. And learn. Learn things. It's a wonderful, wonderful world. And you learn things from... You know what? This is an interesting thing. I was listening to a sheikh, a cleric, a Muslim cleric named Husseini, and he said, you know, I've traveled the world. And he says, I'm really gifted. He said, really been fortunate to be able to travel the world. But he said, you know what I did find worldwide? He says, I learned so much from my audience. Now, you don't know who's listening, you know, and you don't know what influence you're going to have on that person. Sometimes when you think you're dealing with dead air, there's somebody very special out there that could use you, could use your opinions and everything. This is a wonderful format, freedom of speech, okay? And if you don't use it, it's like a muscle. It will atrophy. You will be not able to use it. Folks, while you still have your freedom, get the things you need to maintain your freedom. There will be a transitional period. This government is going to go down, okay? The government is going to go down. The economy is going to go down. And don't worry, the next thing that they have waiting for you is not going to have any loopholes in it.
So if you were going to approach looking at some issues, I mean, I did an interview just prior to this one with Michael Murphy, and he's talking about how important, you know, the chemtrail issue is and being sprayed and affecting our health and our environment. But when you look at the economies and how that can also affect our ability to even have time to look at what's going on around us other than being, you know, debt slaves, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Mel, one of the primary objectives of the chemtrail, or the, you know, the chemtrail is in the... I first aired this with Ted Gundersen. Remember Ted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He used to have a Gundersen report on you know, I forget what it was, a big Christian radio station, went worldwide. And I first aired the chemtrail situation with him, and they thought we were completely insane. Now you see it everywhere. The people are so, look at chemtrail. They understand it, but they don't understand what the purpose of it was. There's a lot of different purposes for it. One was to destroy your B vitamins, your B vitamins in your body. And the reason that they would do that was to lower your resistance for a biological strike. We have a population, a depopulation program in effect right now. It's called a soft kill. You know, people are dying at a higher rate of diabetes and all of these things because they're adding genetically modified corn syrup into everything. And everybody's saying, why is there corn syrup in all this stuff? Maybe they're trying to say, and they say, because the sugar is so expensive. Well, let me ask you a question. You know what aspartame is,
mm-hmm.
right? You understand what aspartame is. All right, so that's a sugar substitute. But they've found that to be really nasty stuff. Why are the multinational corporations like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola putting it in their brand new products if they know it's hazardous? Because you people are being farmed. The people farmers, the genetic engineers, are very busy grooming and killing off the people with critical thinking capacity and dumbing down the rest for the soft kill. You won't notice that, you know, one out of every three people have cancer in the United States. When I was growing up, if you heard of somebody that died of cancer, it was like unbelievable. It was maybe one in 2,000. Now all of a sudden it's starting to get one in three. You know, one in three or something absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I made that up. Don't quote me on it, you know?
Well, actually, I dealt with cancer insurance and whatever, and there was when I started, it was 1 in 4, and now you're getting down 1 in 3 and 1 in 2.
Oh, well, you know, well, I'll put it to you this way. They're not missing many of them. But, you know, well, the side effects are this, this, and this on the prescription medicines and all these things. These things, I mean, I've been a victim myself of a lot of things, and... You know, you're going to tell me that you have to have a hazmat team to remove
a mercury light bulb,
a mercury-laced light bulb, but it's okay to inject it into my child? I mean, I don't know where these people get their ideas from, though. It's really crazy.
Well, those think tanks?
Yeah, I know those think tanks. Well, you got to understand something. The atmosphere that you are experiencing today, the living conditions that you are experiencing today were thought about in the 70s and even earlier. You know, the reality was formulated in those think tanks. Our existence is nothing more than an illusion. You have the illusion of prosperity. You have the illusion of wealth. In fact, you have a cheaper quality of life than you had 100 years ago in America. You could go into McDonald's and buy a hamburger and put it in your pocket and eat it next week. It doesn't go bad. Really?
I know it.
you want some survival food right before the crash goes down? Go get yourself $200 worth of single cheeseburgers. And you'll have a year's worth of nutrition. But is it really nutrition? What is the difference between living and existing? It's quality of life. It's the value of your moments, your conscious moments on this planet. Okay? I'm not a deeply religious man, but I am kind of spiritual. And I would like to see that there would be an afterlife here. And I would like to see that I was, you know, accepted into the realm of possibly what I've done in my life. Might be a little hot, or it might be lovely. But that is not for me to judge. But I don't allow these people to judge me. I mean, their authority is not godlike. Their actions are not godlike. So, in fact, they have a personal agenda, which is not godlike. So I do not worship these people. Idiots worship laws and legislation. Smart people are guided by the laws, but not ruled by laws. And usually the people who are making the laws are exempt. Haven't you people caught on to that yet?
Well, you know, I was just watching a video called Evidence of Revision. Have you seen that one at all?
Nope.
Well, it's pretty much stock footage from the Kennedy, Robert, JFK, RFK, and MLK, as well as Jonestown and Vietnam. And it was interesting to watch how so much of this information was changed just in the rifle that was used supposedly with JFK's murder. I mean, you heard all the newscasters saying it was one type of weapon over and over and over again, and before you knew it, they had changed that weapon to another one.
Well, as far as I know, the official weapon that was used for the Kennedy assassination was a 6.5 Italian Carcano, and that weapon itself would at that yardage be impossible just to hit the target practically. And this guy had an incredible lock time, meaning the time it takes to cycle the weapon with another round. It couldn't happen. The devastation that was suffered at that yardage couldn't happen. So basically, it's a theoretical and physical. When the theoretical and the physical come to the conclusion of total impossibility, guess what? Proper marketing comes into play. And these people actually said that when you get hit from the front, from the back, you when you get hit from the front, you fall into the bullet bear. In other words, all of the kinetic energy is going in the wrong direction. Whenever these people get involved with things that deny all of the principles of physics and the realities that we have accumulated over thousands of years, when it defies all those laws and accepted building practices and accepted kinetic energy and things that people know about, whenever you hear an official story from that, you know the whole thing is wrong. Because, you know, these people, they use good science and they use bad science. I'll give you an example of what good science is. Supposing it's Tom from Brooklyn, the science teacher, and he gets up with his wool sweater, and he says, okay, children, now I'm going to show you what static cling is. And he takes a little bit of a ping pong ball, and he rubs it on the sweater, and you know you're charging the atoms and doing all these things to create the static electricity, and you go through the whole thing. I don't want to do it. I don't want to treat you people like children, but then you know, and you see it, and all the kids are wow, look at that! It really stuck to his sweater. It's basically an illustration. Now that's good science. That's good physical, organic science. You can see with your own eyes. Now, the marketers, on the other hand, will have you think that you could take a 75-pound anvil and rub it on your sweater and let go of it, okay? And, well, to your surprise, they lied to you. Okay? Somebody lied to you. Well, using the same science, all they did was change the variables a little bit. And instead of saying that you broke your foot, okay, no, the bone was displaced, okay, displacing your bone. And you really weren't in pain. That was excitement. But by redefining the terminology, you can change the entire direction of the scene. And relabeling the barn, you've heard me say this many, many times, relabeling the barn and redefinition of terms and language, and through linguistics, you will lose your freedom.
So that anywhere from like climate change to climate global warming to...
Yeah, to climate change. You know why? Because the global warming thing. Wasn't it great when their global warming seminar over, I think it was in Amsterdam, they couldn't get to it because the airport was snowed in?
Well, they didn't hire the right weather modification group, I guess. So, or they did, one or the other.
Well, you know, I mean, I like the mayor of Washington D.C. You know, they were having a blizzard, so he sent all of his plow operators home until there was no snow.
So
I basically got hold of that and I said, was the new mayor of D.C. Smoking crack like the old mayor?
You know, did you follow anything with this MF Global issue at all, or what's going on with the markets, or is this another issue that you haven't been up on? So I'm
getting some static now.
Okay. Have you been following that MF Global issue at all, or, again, would this be a subject that you're not following as much?
No, I haven't been following it.
Okay. Well...
Sorry, I'm not up to date on everything. I mean, you know, Tom can't be everywhere.
You're on a lot of radio, though.
Well, yeah, on issues that they call me on, you know,
okay.
Or on issues that I'm aware of. And,
okay. Well, then I'm going to let you shoot for what you want to talk about then.
Well, I mean, I wish you people to prepare. I'm not going to say that the world is going to come to the end and. In 2012, but it's just coincidence that the Federal Reserve, the contract is up, or there's a lot of things that terminate in 2012 for some reason. Now look at it this way: we're going to have an economic meltdown in this country. Now, here's something for you to think about. Every one of you listening to me. Whether you're high on the feeding chain or low on the feeding chain, whether you've gone to high school, you've gone to college, or never went to school at all, this is as simple as it gets. When you go into Walmart, okay, well, I'm using Walmart because Walmart is a great illustration because you see the same Walmart all over the country. And you turn something upside down and it says made in China. All right? Wow, it's made in China. Now, what's going to happen when the Chinese do not accept the money anymore? When they do not accept it, your money, when those items, those consumer items, are bought off the shelf at Walmart with American money, what will happen to America? There will be a great shortage in consumer goods, correct? Because they're not going to buy the money now. Here's another situation that I want to make about. The Chinese are buying up everything. Well, I don't hate the Chinese for that, because at least they were smart enough not to take a piece of paper for it that wasn't backed by anything. They're taking physical possession of land because the treasonous government of the United States, right, has a very, very big debt with them, and they won't accept the paper anymore. So they're purchasing it with the debt. You understand?
Right.
They're canceling out the debt. In other words, you know, what's the fair market value of that bridge, or what's the fair market value of that apartment building or office building? And they're going to say, okay, 200, well, that's 200 million off your debt, you know? That's 200 million off your debt. I mean, these people gave the money to the American people to spend on wars in Israel, for Israel. You know, the bottom line here is you're creating a terrorist. You're so worried about terrorism. Well, if you were worried about terrorism, you would be able to guard your own borders.
Well, in a sense, would not, I mean, you have the type of insurrection that you're talking about taking place on the southern border, but if you're creating these foreign trade zones and giving them a free ride to come in here and not that they haven't, you know, worked for or figured out
no,
ways
to do. No,
it's
not a free ride. They paid for this.
That's is what I'm trying to infer.
Yeah.
But when they set up these foreign trade zones, they're not competing on the same level that we would have to compete. So they do have an advantage there. And
the reason why they've got leverage on there is because the United States is so economically indebted to these people. You got to understand that the Situation Room in the White House has already put out contingency plans to attack China, so that they don't have these people are playing schoolyard politics with the lives of Americans. Okay, and you know what? If you gave Vito $5 and he didn't give it back to you, what would he do at the end of the school week? He'd have a fight with you, and I'm not talking to you anymore. Well, it doesn't work that way with international politics and economics, all right? Wars are created. And a war with, say, with China or with Russia or with any, you're worried about Fukushima. When these things start going off, it's going to be the end of our world as we know it. Nothing's going to be safety, and everybody's going to get sick, and only the people that have prepared are going to be, are going to survive. And what will be the quality of life? Why would I want to be the only guy left on the block? You know what I mean?
Right. So, okay. So, but what I was getting at is that in its own right, that's an invasion in another right, or colonization, in so to speak. So, I mean, we're being taken down from the inside, whether we want to face it or not. I mean, if the economy and our food and our air and our water and our jobs are...
We're one of the only countries that is going to have to pay for everything. Everybody else gets a free ride. So in other words, the United States, the people will labor, the people will die. But here's the problem here, Mel. They're worried about the Social Security system. Well, if George Bush Sr. didn't integrate it with health, education, and welfare, okay, to use that money to bring over the chosen from Russia, okay, they wouldn't have been able to loot our Social Security pool. If everybody had the required 40 quarters of continual work, paying taxes and being employed, and something would have happened with them, all these people wouldn't be getting disability or anything coming out of an American budget. And the system, these people are abusing the system. We have a wonderful system in America. It's guaranteed with the Constitution. They said, we need to have a contract with the people. No, you have your contract with the people. It's called the Constitution. You need to start using it again. And eliminate all of these nuisance laws and regulations that make commerce in the United States almost in an impossibility to manufacture anything. You know, the EPA has done more damage to the United States than it has saved lives. FEMA has done more damage to the people of the United States than the hurricanes and natural disasters. Every time the bureaucracy gets involved with something, they come up with a new type of law, a new type of control, a new agency to regulate the old agency, to regulate the people. You know, the funny part about it is the only growth industry in America besides prisons
is government.
Is regulatory agencies.
Right.
It's terrible. The system has become top-heavy. I mean, second to the United States government, Walmart is the largest employer in America. You aware of that?
Yes.
It's incredible. I mean, but I'm just the guy who was spinning pizzas yesterday. You know what I mean? I'm not a top economic scientist. You know, all these people that come in here with these Harvard degrees and everything, you know what they should do? They should sell their degree. They should burn it and use it for something. Because how could these people that are so educated in these wonderful, wonderful schools that their parents or that they came up with went to debt to go to these wonderful schools? I mean, an uneducated guy like Evo Morales in Bolivia, without even a high school education, kicked the money people out of Bolivia and turned around a $40 million gross national product into a $3 billion national. He didn't even have an education. He was just an honest guy. Commerce, if not hindered by regulation, can survive in almost any environment. You know, all the busybodies, the people that don't produce anything or don't know anything about anything, seem to get the upper hand in regulating, and they become qualified experts in nothing. And this is what we have running our country. A guy that reads a teleprompter, you know? Unbelievable.
Well, in the last few minutes of the program, is there any other aspects that you would like to enlighten our audience?
Well, as for enlightening, I don't know. But look across the table or across the room. The only reality that you can actually be sure of is the person in front of your face. And the only thing of quality, don't judge your life by the quality, by the car you drive. Judge the quality of your life and your success by the smile on your children's face or by the love in their eyes. Because the only reality there is, in this dimension, is that of love. And try to be a little kind to each other. I mean, I reformulated a lot of my opinions over the years. And I've had some wonderful mentors. Howard Zinn and Eustace Mullins and all these great thinkers. And then in the end, I always ended up asking, why did they seek me out? And why did I seek them out? And why did they spend so much time with me? Because they were learning from me as I was learning from them. Humanity is not a one-way street. You get out of life what you put into it, Mel. And love, yeah, is an interesting situation. You can jump into it with both feet. All right? And those that are once burned, twice shy, you know, don't give up on America. Don't give up because America is not being run by Americans. The sentiments of the people of this country are very, very seldomly expressed in the actions of their government. Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do to change this? Opt out of the tax system is one start. At least you don't have to finance it. To those people that are going into the job world now, I wish you much luck and success. But you got to realize, you've indebted yourself with a college loan based upon companies that do not have America's best interest in their hands. And to those Wall Street protesters, God bless you for your strength and spirit, because you're actually doing something. I mean, whether it falls on deaf ears or not, it may have a positive impact on the people, because at least they have the illusion of participation. Okay? We live in the world of illusion. If you want to know how we got there, look for the people that control the illusion. And you know what? I think America will survive this. But I do know that things are going to be much, much different. And those that have been getting a free ride, well, the new system that will fall into place will not give the same people the free ride. They want an equal distribution of wealth, they'll get it at the cost of the rich.
Well, I want to thank you again, Tom, for coming on the program and giving us a little bit of your thoughts, and I hope we do it again. And any other closing comments?
A closing comment. Stay strong, America. And to the purported enemies of America, we have more in common with you than we think. We're both oppressed people. You know, all concerned, we're all oppressed. So don't buy into the hype. Break the control. Shop locally. And don't support the multinational corporations. I'm out, Mel. And God bless you for your time and efforts and what you do. And don't worry, America. Your elected public officials have well thought out your future. Bye.
Okay. Good night.